the Word of God to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. To see everybody here. Great to see some of our visitors here tonight. We welcome you. It's good to see Brother Sister Charles Eddings all the way from Texas. We're glad to have them here tonight. Amen. And I see a little lady back there clapping more than anybody else. Amen. Sister Eddings is glad to have them here. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye did not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Help us, Lord. We're continuing our lessons on the bait of Satan, and this is lesson five. It's going to be on forgiveness. Forgiveness, to receive it, we must give it. Amen. To receive it, we must give it. Would you ask the Lord to help us here tonight? Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the atmosphere of praise and worship that's here and for all that you're doing. I pray, God, that you'd minister and that you'd work among us. We need your help. We need your strength, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to be led by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Lord, reach down to our hearts, and I pray that you would move in the depths of our hearts, God, even in places that we don't even realize could be there. I pray that you would move in that realm tonight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We have been looking for several weeks at the Bait of Satan series based on the book by John Bevere. We've had four lessons so far. In our first lesson, we laid the groundwork for the series by looking at how Satan uses the bait of being offended to destroy people in the church. It's his preferred bait. It really is. My boys and I like to go trout fishing. Has anybody ever been trout fishing? And it took me a little bit to get the hang of it because it's different than fishing in Texas or any of those fish we have down there, because it's either saltwater fishing or lake fishing for bass. But trout, it's a little bit different. And so we finally picked it up, and I have a favorite bait that I like to use, and it works just about every time. Now, don't ask me what it is, because I don't want to hurt your feelings when I don't tell you, okay? It's my secret. But it works. It's my favorite bait. And Satan, he has a favorite bait, and he loves to destroy people in the church with it. Elders who have lived for God for years, young people who have great potential in the kingdom of God, husbands and wives that God wants you to be pillars in the church, even little children who are so innocent. But Satan uses that. He loves this bait of offense to destroy God's plan for our lives. Oh, that we would be wise unto Satan's attack and not let ourselves be trapped by the bait of being offended. In the second lesson, we looked at the life of Joseph and David and also John the Baptist. As we looked at how they had every opportunity to be offended, not only with men, but with God, it would seem. And isn't that the case many times? People, they aren't just offended at others, but many times they are offended at God. But in the lives of Joseph and David and John the Baptist, they refused Satan's bait, and God was able to use them in mighty, mighty ways. I don't know if you've thought about this, but consider something with me. Jesus Christ was perfect. He knew no sin. He was perfect. He did everything that was right. But consider with me all of the times that someone was offended with the Lord. Many of his hometown. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, we read what they said. They said, "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. They were so offended in him that Luke's writing tells us that the townspeople, they rose up and they physically took Jesus out of the city, and they meant to cast him off a cliff. They were offended at him, but he was able to get away. The Pharisees were offended. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, Jesus said, ye hypocrites. He just called them for what they were. Well did Isaiah prophesy unto of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And then read a couple verses later in Matthew 15 and 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard these sayings? This saying? His own family members. In Mark chapter 3, verse 31, there came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother? Or who is my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. His own followers. John chapter 6, verse 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? And reading on a few scriptures later in verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Even some of his closest friends. In John chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, we read, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters went unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Verse 6 then says, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, Jesus knew that Lazarus, his sickness would lead to death. It was a very serious matter. But he stayed where he was for 2 more days. And when he finally came to Bethany, Lazarus was already dead. In John 11, 21, we read, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And in John 11, 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Most likely they were a little offended. They'd sent messengers to him. He didn't respond. He didn't come running. He didn't drop everything to get there. He even delayed by 2 more days. But what he did was best for everyone. And his glory was able to shine. There's many times in our life that we may have the opportunity of being offended at God if we let ourselves. If we're considering our situation in the flesh, but that's where our trust in him comes in. Psalms 37 and verse 23 tells us, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I want to trust in him. In our third lesson, we looked at how people often hide from reality. They'll proclaim to their grave that they have forgiven whoever it was that hurt them. Yet inwardly, they're still dealing with the effects of that offense. We've got to let Jesus Christ cover our minds, our souls, our spirits, our hearts, our past, our present, our future with his blood. We've got to let him, we need him to minister to our spirits here tonight, to heal any wounds that are here, and, and to restore us so we can be healthy Christians and we can fulfill the work that he has for us. Then last week our title was, If It Can Be Shaken, It Will Be Shaken. Sometimes in life, God allows the shaking to come in order to shake things from our life that do not need to be there. And so that's when we had better have a solid foundation that will stand through the shaking. We looked at the life of Simon Peter and the process that the Lord took him through so that he could become the mighty apostle that he became. If it had not been for the shaking in Peter's life, Peter would have never become what God had in store for him. And so now today's lesson on forgiveness. To receive it, we must give it. The main thought of this lesson here today is a person who cannot forgive has forgotten how truly great a debt that God has forgiven us of. You know, Jesus meant what he said. When he spoke in Mark chapter 11, verse 26, he said, But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. He meant that. You see, we live in a culture today where we don't always mean what we say. You know, and so sometimes we don't always believe that others mean what they really say. It starts as a child, you know. A parent tells them, if you do that again, you're going to get a spanking. They do it again, and if you do that again, it's going to be bad. Yeah. One more time, this is your last warning. It's kind of like, you know, with the first one, we were real strict, and with the second one, and the third one, by the time the fourth one came along, we were just tired, and we're like, everybody ought to have at least four kids. Not only do they just keep right on doing those things if we don't back up our words, but a lot of times they may get correction, but it's not what was promised. And so they just learn to realize, hey, you really don't mean what you say. But when Jesus speaks, he means what he says. And he wants us to take him seriously. When he says something, I tell you, you can trust that it will come to pass. Because God is faithful. And so when Jesus said, But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses, he means it. And to take this further, he doesn't just say it once in the gospel, but he says it many times. In the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:12, And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In Matthew 6:14 and 15, For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And in Luke chapter 6, verse 37, Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. How many Christians do you think really want God to forgive them in the same way that we forgive others who have offended us? Do we want God to forgive us in the same manner that we forgive? Because that's what he said he'll do. The truth is the truth. The word is the word. The way we forgive is the way that we will be forgiven. I don't know about you, but that makes me want to stop and just say, Lord, God, help me to forgive. Help me to forgive. Come on, we can't forgive in our own strength. We can't do it in our flesh. We have to take it to God. And we need to ask first, God, forgive me for not forgiving. Lord, forgive me for holding bitterness towards others. And then we've got to release that hurt so that God can reach way down inside of us and begin to heal that and release that bitterness from us. And if we'll let him do that work, it will usher us into an entirely new and powerful realm of God's Spirit. In Matthew chapter 18, we're going to look at a parable. Jesus, he would teach in parables or in stories to illustrate the lesson. And And in Matthew 18, Jesus, he shed some more light on the bondage of unforgiveness. He was teaching the disciples about how they could be reconciled with a brother who offended them. And so Peter asked in Matthew 18:21, Peter, he says, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Now Peter thought he was being kind of generous, you know. Seven times, Lord? But he got a shocking reply back. In Matthew 18:22, Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Jesus blew away what Peter thought was generous. In other words, I think it was Jesus saying, we need to forgive as many times as it takes. We need to forgive as God does, without limits. And so Jesus goes on to tell a parable to get his point across. And in Matthew chapter 23, Matthew 18, 23, he said, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents." 10,000 talents. Does anybody here have 10,000 talents? I'm wondering how much that is. Trust me, you'd like to have 10,000 talents. A talent is a unit of measure. A talent was used to measure gold or silver or other kinds of metals or commodities. In this parable, he's talking about a debt, so let's just say it's either gold or silver, and let's go with gold, okay? Everybody like gold? Okay. All right. I don't have much gold. I don't have any gold, but we're going to talk about some gold here. In this parable, 10,000 talents. The common talent was 75 pounds. 10,000 talents, then, would be 750,000 pounds, or 375 tons. So this servant, he owed the king 375 tons of gold. That's a lot of gold. In today's market, a talent of gold, a talent, 75 pounds, about, it was figured as much as a man could carry all by himself. In today's market, a talent of gold, price of gold is about $1,300 an ounce. So a talent of gold would be about $1.5 million. And 10,000 talents of gold is worth $15.6 billion. This servant owed the king $15.6 billion. Now, let's not so much get hung up on the value exactly, but I think Jesus was just trying to emphasize the fact that this servant owed a debt that he could never pay. Reading on in Matthew 18, verses 25 through 27, "But for as much as he had not to pay," obviously, "his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt." How does this apply to being offended? When we are offended, a debt is owed. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, they're going to pay for this? They're going to pay for this. Well, forgiveness is kind of like canceling that debt and say, no, they don't have to pay for this. And so in this parable, the king represents God, who forgave his servant a debt which was impossible for him to pay. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, we read, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." The debt that we've been forgiven at Calvary, it was unpayable. There was no way that we could ever repay God what we owed him. Our sin was overwhelming. It was too much to even calculate how much it was. And so God gave salvation as a gift. He robed himself in flesh. He came to this earth in the form of a man. He paid the debt that was against us. Amen. Aren't you thankful today? Because it was a debt you could not pay, but he gladly paid it for you and for me. Hallelujah. So this parallel between the servant and the king is the same as our relationship with God. But wait. Story's not over. Reading on in Matthew chapter 18, verse 28, it says, but the same servant, the one that was forgiven $15.6 billion in today's value, went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. 100 pence. Some believe that would be about $17. Imagine that. Continuing on, Matthew 18, 29 and 30, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. The offenses that we hold towards one another compared to our offenses against God are like a $20 bill compared to billions of dollars. We may have been treated badly by someone else, but it doesn't compare to our sin against God. We may feel that nobody has it as bad as we do, but we need to realize today how badly Jesus was treated. He was completely innocent. He was a blameless lamb that was slain. And he wasn't slain for his own sin. He was slain for our sin. That was the price that he paid for us. I want to tell you today, you can't put a price on all the sins of the world. It's greater than you could ever calculate. But he paid that price willingly. And today we've got to remember, I've been forgiven. And so I must forgive. I must forgive. Hallelujah. When someone can't forgive, they've forgotten the great debt that they've been forgiven of. When we remember what Jesus delivered us from, come on, do you remember where he brought you from? When we remember, when we realize that Jesus saved us from eternal death and torment, how can we help but not release others? There is nothing worse than eternity in a lake of fire. There's nothing worse than eternity in a lake of fire. There's no relief. The Bible says the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And that was our eternal destination. That is where we were headed until God forgave us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your blood that was shed for us. Thank you, Lord, for reaching down into that pit of sin where we were and pulling me up out of that, God. Thank you, Lord, for taking that life that wasn't worth living and giving me a life that was worth something. Amen. Come on, we owe everything to the Lord today. If we're having a hard time forgiving, we need to think of the reality of hell and the love of God that saved us from it. Nothing is worth missing out on heaven and going to hell. Nothing is worth missing out on heaven and going to hell. It doesn't matter how bad it hurt. It doesn't matter who did it to us. It doesn't matter how much we want revenge. Nothing is worth missing out on heaven and going to hell. Continuing on in the parable, Matthew 18, verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Jesus, he was talking to believers here. Brothers and sisters, servants of the King. This was a man who had already had a debt forgiven, so he had experienced representing salvation. There's three major points to consider here. First of all, the unforgiving servant, he's turned over to the tormentors. Secondly, he has to pay off now the original debt, 375 tons of gold. And thirdly, God will do the same to any believer who does not forgive someone's offense. That's the lesson here. First of all, those who refuse to forgive, they'll be turned over to the tormentors, the torturers. But I'm a believer, you say. More than just being a believer, we have to forgive. Could it be that perhaps some who they're seeking healing and seeking comfort and deliverance and God's blessing, and somewhere along the way they are missing out because they won't release others and forgive them in their hearts? Medical doctors and scientists have linked together unforgiveness and bitterness with certain diseases such as arthritis and cancer. Many cases of mental sickness are tied to bitter unforgiveness. Amen. God, help us to forgive. God, help us to forgive. Usually when we're talking about forgiveness, we're talking about forgiving others. But sometimes we have to forgive ourselves. It's kind of hard to do that sometimes. But if God has forgiven you, who are we to not forgive the one that God has forgiven, whether that's someone else or whether that's us? Amen. I don't want to be turned over to the tormentors. I don't want to live this life a grumpy and bitter, sour person, tormented because I can't forgive. But God, I release that bitterness today, and I ask for your healing. God, cleanse us today. Lord, heal our hearts. Remove that root of bitterness from me. Second point was the unforgiving servant had to pay the original unpayable debt. He was required to do the impossible. It's kind of like us being required to pay the debt that Jesus paid at Calvary. We can't pay that. We would lose our salvation. Too many in our world, and perhaps even in the church, don't consider that once we're saved, we could be horribly lost. Read the words of Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. What a word picture, the dog returning to his vomit. The pig that's washed and clean, it now jumps back in the mud. Peter's talking about those who have escaped sin through salvation, but then they're again entangled by sin, and maybe the sin of unforgiveness, and they were overcome by it. What a horrible place to be, and unforgiveness can put us in that state. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in that name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They knew the Lord. They called him Lord. They did miracles in his name, but he didn't know them. He didn't know them. I want to be known by the Lord. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. God knows those that love him. Not those that love the world, not those that love the things that God can do for them, but those who truly love him. They love him enough to put him first. They love him enough to follow his commandments, to do his will, to obey his commands. John chapter 14, verse 15 says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. God knows those who love him. Somebody might say today, well, I love God. I just don't love this brother who has hurt me. Then we're deceived. Because it's written in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. God, don't let us be deceived by our foolish hearts and our foolish minds. Amen. If we say that we love God and we hate our brother, it says we're a liar. I don't want to believe that I'm one way and then I'm deceived and I'm really another. Could it be that the same many that will expect to enter heaven but will be turned away because they don't love their brother? Could it be that it could be some of those same many that will be the ones we talked about in lesson one, where many shall be offended? How sad that some church people are so tormented by unforgiveness when there's freedom available through Jesus Christ. I tell you today, I do not want to sit on the pews of a church that believes in apostolic power, a church that believes in the blood of Jesus Christ, a church that believes in baptism in the name of Jesus, a church where you can receive forgiveness of sins, a church where you can receive deliverance from addictions and drugs and all of those things of the world. I don't want to sit here in that kind of atmosphere, and yet in my heart I hold unforgiveness. Hey, God has forgiven us. I've got to forgive. I've got to release that so that I can be a healthy Christian, so that I can be what God has designed me to be. If the words of Jesus are true, and I believe they are, then if we don't deal with unforgiveness, we will be called upon to pay the unpayable, just as the servant in the Lord's parable. The third thing we need to remember from this parable, we read it in Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Jesus, he was very specific about them understanding this parable. He didn't even wait. Sometimes he would wait and they would ask him, Lord, what do you mean by this parable? He didn't even wait for the disciples to ask for an explanation. He wanted no question about how severe the judgment was for those who refused to forgive. And remember, he means what he says. Forgiveness. To receive it, we must give it. If we refuse to forgive, we will not be forgiven. This is an uncomfortable subject sometimes. It's not really talked a lot about in church. People, you know, they want to come up with excuses for holding on to unforgiveness. And they say, well, unforgiveness, it's not as bad as adultery or stealing or drunkenness or homosexuality and all these other sins. But those who don't forgive will not inherit the kingdom of God along with all of those other sins. I know it may seem like a hard message today, but I want to get it home. I want to do my job. I see it as a message of mercy, a message of warning. I'm not judging anybody today. I'm preaching to myself just as much as you. Answer this. Wouldn't you rather be convicted by the Spirit of God right now and experience repentance and forgiveness and healing in your life? Or would you rather nobody preach to you the Word of God and then continue to go on through life refusing to forgive, and then when it's too late, hear the Master say, depart from me. Help us to forgive. Would you stand with me in closing tonight? Have you ever peeled an onion? You have the surface there, and you peel away a layer, and peel away more, and it just, there's more and more layers to come. I feel like this series has kind of been like peeling an onion. Pastor, why are we hitting this again and again and again now? 5 weeks? Why are we doing this? Because I feel like it's been peeling an onion back. The first week we just talked about forgiveness, and so we all said, Lord, I want to forgive. The second week we went a little deeper, and then the third week we talked about forgiving those that were leaders in our life, perhaps, that we were hurt at, or forgiving God. And boy, we had a move of the Spirit that night, and God worked in an amazing way, and it's just, it's been like peeling these layers back. I want us to go just another level tonight, because I want you to think about the debt that you owed the Lord, that He paid in full. I don't know about you, but the Lord's forgiven me of a lot of stuff. Now, I grew up in church, but that doesn't mean I was perfect, okay? And the Lord has forgiven me of a whole lot of stuff. Some of you say, I wasn't in church, and I know the Lord's forgiven me of a bunch of things. And so when I look at my brother or my sister, and I hold unforgiveness towards them, it's like I'm saying, God, I reject that forgiveness that you would give me, because this is more important for me to hold on to. We've got to overcome the bait of Satan. We cannot let unforgiveness destroy our lives, destroy the destiny that God has for us, keep us from becoming what we're meant to be, to destroy relationships, marriages, fathers and children and wives and husbands and all of that. God wants to heal those relationships. Don't let bitterness rob you of your health, of our sanity, of our peace. If we want forgiveness, we have to give forgiveness. I wonder if anybody would just be willing with Pastor again tonight to just find a place of prayer and say, God, search my heart. If there's anything else in me, if there's any other root of bitterness, if there's any unforgiveness in me, Lord, I release that. I do not want to be destroyed by the bait of Satan. Amen. I wonder, would you find a place and just ask the Lord to reach one more time into your heart? And would you ask the Lord to just reach down again and peel back another layer and let God minister and God do a work in you right now? We need you, God. We need your presence. We need your touch, oh Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to forgive. Help us, Lord, to have faith, to have strength to forgive. Lord, reach way down inside of us, Lord. I want to be saved. I must be saved. Lord, I must be saved. I don't want unforgiveness to stop me from making it to heaven, Lord. I don't want unforgiveness to keep me from being what you've called me to be. But Lord, I pray that you'd get a hold of my heart today. I pray that you would peel back those layers of my heart, Lord. That heart that's deceitful, Lord. That heart that I don't even know my own heart. But Lord, you know it, and get a hold of me right now, I pray. Lord, let the Holy Ghost do a work, I pray, right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that you'd reach way down inside of us. Lord, let us leave this place changed tonight, because we've released every bit of unforgiveness. Help us to leave this place fully covered by your blood, God, because we're not holding unforgiveness and bitterness towards anyone. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord.